Hello and welcome everyone to a new episode of Let Us Talk. Today is a very special episode because we have not only a special guest, who we will introduce in a minute, but also a new member of our podcast committee is here on board for the first time. Christina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Christina. I am usually editor of Let Us Talk and now also the new secretary of the VSA in Utrecht. And I'm here to interview someone for the first time on the podcast.
Yeah, today we have a farmer, actually. Would you like to introduce yourself, Vincent?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name is Vincent Koning, and I am a farmer for Koning Organic Dog Meat.
Organic dog meat? Like, why did you start a dog meat company? I think that's very unusual, right?
Yeah, actually my uncle started it. He went to visit America in 2020, and he went to visit Elwood's Organic Dog Meat. And he got to taste it, and he was so inspired that he wanted to bring the concept back to the Netherlands.
So you were inspired, or your uncle was inspired by going to the US. So what was it that inspired him? Was it like the way the dogs were kept, or was it the taste, or...?
Yeah, he actually came across the farm on accident, and he got a tour of the place, and he was very impressed by how ethical the farming was, how humane the way the dogs were kept and treated with the respect. And it's different from many other farms, and he got to taste it, and of course the quality is very good because it's all organic and it's a local farm, and it's a very different type of protein that's not here in the Netherlands yet, so he wanted to bring it back.
Could you describe the life of a dog that you keep and how you kill the dog at the end of their life?
We don't kill the dogs ourselves. Of course we harvest them. We work with the best butchers. It's all done locally, at the end of their life. And the best slaughter date for the dogs is different for every breed. But when their date comes, they go to the best butcher. And until then, they're kept in more than the recommended space. The usual lifespan of a dog at our farm is about 6 to 8 months before they get harvested. But we also have dairy dogs, and they live a lot longer.
So in the future, do you think if you drive on the highway, will you see fields of dogs by the side of the highway?
Well, the way it is now, we are the only farm. We are in Groningen, and we are the only dog farm in the Netherlands. So, of course, we hope to expand and have more farms in the Netherlands so we can bring local meat to all the communities. Mm. But unfortunately, many people are not... that excited about dog meat yet, but we are growing.
What reactions have you had so far from people?
A lot of people are very positive because all of our meat is certified by the animal welfare standard. But many people unfortunately seem a bit prejudiced against the concept of dog meat, which is interesting to me because many people do eat meat.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, maybe it's because some people already have dogs at home or something like that. How do you explain like this huge difference that people have like in attitudes between like cow meat and dog meat?
Yeah, we often get the argument that people think that, you know, dogs are pets so you shouldn't eat them, but the way we see it, the dogs we have at our farms, they're not pets. They're not bred for companionship. They are, you know, meat dogs and dairy dogs, and that is their purpose, and you know, we allow them to fulfill their purpose, and we honor them by, you know, we are very into sustainability and we do not throw any part of the dog away, so we honor them in that way and respect them enough to use every part of them.
Yeah. Is it ever hard to say goodbye to your dogs when you send them off to slaughter?
It happens sometimes, you know, sometimes you bond. We have very special dogs. A while ago we had a beagle who had a litter of 15 puppies. It's very unusual. She was a very good dog, but unfortunately they all, you know, it's a circle of life.
It's a circle of life.
Yeah.
So, organic dog meat under highest welfare standards, it still feels a little bit odd to most of us. And the psychologist, Melanie Joy, she brought up a very nice scenario in her book, Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Rare Cows. Would you like to read it out, Christina?
Yes, I will. Imagine for a moment the following scenario. You are a guest at an elegant dinner party. You're seated with the other guests at an ornately set table. The room is warm, candlelight flickers across crystal wine glasses, and the conversation is flowing freely. Mouth-watering smells of rich foods emanate from the kitchen. You haven't eaten all day, and your stomach is growling. At last, after what feels like hours, your friend who is hosting the party emerges from the kitchen with a steaming pot of savory stew. The aromas of meat, seasonings, and vegetables fill the room. You serve yourself a generous portion, and after eating several mouthfuls of tender meat, you ask your friend for the recipe. "I'd be happy to tell you," she replies. "You begin with 5 pounds of golden retriever meat, well, marinated, and then..." Golden retriever? You probably freeze mid-bite as you consider her words. "The meat in your mouth is from a dog." What now? Do you continue eating, or are you revolted by the fact that there's a golden retriever on your plate, and you've just eaten some of it? Do you pick out the meat and eat the vegetables around it? If you are like most people, particularly in the Western world, when you hear that you've been eating a dog, your feelings would automatically change from pleasure to some degree of revulsion. You might also become turned off by the vegetables in the stew, as if they were somehow tainted by the meat. But let's suppose that your friend laughs and says she was playing a practical joke. The meat isn't golden retriever, after all, but beef. How do you feel about your food now? Is your appetite fully restored? Do you resume eating with the same enthusiasm you had when you first began your meal? Chances are, even though you know that the stew on your plate is exactly the same food you were savoring just moments earlier, you would have some residual emotional discomfort. Discomfort that might continue to affect you the next time you sit down to a beef stew. What's going on here? Why is it that certain foods cause such emotional reactions? How can a food given one label be considered highly palatable, and that same food given another become virtually inedible? The stew's main ingredient, meat, didn't really change at all. It was animal flesh to begin with, and it remained that way. It just became, or seemed to, for a moment, meat from a different animal. Why is it that we have such radically different reactions to beef and dog meat? The answer to these questions can be summed up by a single word: perception. We react differently to different types of meat, not because there is a physical difference between them, but because our perception of them is different.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I think that this is what also you listeners experience now that you heard the first time about dog meat. I mean, of course, this is a vegan podcast and many vegans already see other non-human animals just like cows. They see them the same way they see dogs and are like, well, we usually should not eat them. But of course, this message in the first instance generates quite a shock, and that's why we would like to ask you, Vincent, why did you really form your company?
And Vincent, of course, is not your real name, but your pseudonym for the Koenig Dog Meat Company. What is your real name?
My real name is James.
Hello,
thank
James.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
So Koenig started kind of to point out, you know, speciesist thinking indeed about how we love some animals and, you know, harm others, because it's hypocritical, right? It's culture based. You know, Dutch people will freak out because people in other countries may eat dogs, but, you know, they will go home and eat like half a chicken for dinner, as if, you know, that's entirely different. And we kind of wanted to point that out in a different way than kind of the usual vegan messages, because we feel like it may reach a different audience.
So you play a little bit with this kind of shock and to show people like how, that it's not kind of honest to treat the one kind of animals like this and the others like that, completely different, like loving the ones and eating the others. And how do people react if you confront them with that?
A lot of people get really angry, and it's really interesting to see, because you kind of see like the faces of their thinking, as in, they will get really mad when they believe that it's dog meat, and then eventually, hopefully, they will figure out that it's not. And then they will either be mad at us for even suggesting such a thing, or they will still argue that it's different, but at least it'll be a seed planted in our minds, hopefully. But when they do realize, we had someone take to the streets a couple weeks ago and ask people about it. And we had a lady that ended up in tears because she felt so ashamed for eating cows. And up until that moment, she hadn't been able to kind of see them in the same way as the dogs. And that is the reaction that we want.
And what kind of projects have you been working on so far with Koenig? Because it's not a very... you haven't been working with Koenig for very long yet.
No, we are still kind of new. We have been focusing a lot on creating new content. We made kind of like an ad. It sounds like a TV ad, which did really well. We're working on our Instagram and Facebook and, of course, our website. We recently had our first event, our dog meat tasting event. You were there, too.
I was there, yes.
Yeah, and it was really fun. We hope to do more of that. And, you know, eventually we just want to grow. We want to collaborate with other, you know, vegan initiatives. And a more concrete goal that we have is that we hope to make the news someday. That would be great. So we're definitely, like, growing a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great.
So looking for more media attention and
yeah,
stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you'll get it someday.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So you have two different types of action. Basically, you are very active on social media and
yeah.
post pictures of your new... Yeah, dogs or dog meat,
yeah.
And basically by having like these kind of stories that local farmers always like to share as well, how much they love the animals that they
yes.
send to slaughter later and how much they love them, but then do the same with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way is that you pretend to sell dog meat, which is probably no real dog meat,
no,
on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, we had of course like vegan sausage, and I think we had two types of sausage, and one was supposed to be I think boxer meat, and the other one was Labrador, and many people did believe it actually, and you know I had one lady kind of don't want to say yelp, you know she raised her voice at me because she believed it was true, and she was a vegetarian and she was very offended, but you know that's. Also, another thing why we have started to, air quotes, sell beagle milk and cheese, because we, of course, we are a dog meat farm, but we also want to point to the dairy part of it, because, you know, veganism is more than animal corpses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I noticed when I was there and talking to people is that many people will get angry and say that it's not legal for us to be there and give out dog meat.
Yeah.
What do you think about that reaction?
It's an interesting concept because as far as I know, it is illegal to sell dog meat. But, you know, what are the grounds for that? It has no, you know, foundation.
It's based on it's for hygienic reasons that slaughtering dogs is illegal.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny because, of course, everybody in society... finds it morally disgusting and has strong moral aversion
yeah.
against dog meat. And the reason they, yeah, a little bit blamed it on the hygienic reasons is if they find a moral argument to ban dog meat, you have to ban all the other meats as well.
Yeah, yeah. There is no, you know, logical argument to have dog meat be illegal, but you know, slaughter
yeah.
Millions of cows and pigs and chickens, and it just doesn't make sense. And I also think, you know, the argument of it's legal, so then it's right, and it's illegal, so then it's wrong, is not really grounded because, you know, in history there have been many things that have been legal and not right.
And also the other way around, probably a lot of things that are right were illegal. So
yeah.
Usually laws should be based on our ethics, and yeah, if they mismatch, then there is a problem.
Absolutely.
But I think what was funny is one thing that you mentioned, that people actually believed you that it was dog meat. I
yeah.
think it also says a lot about the perception, because often people say, oh, these meat substitutes, they taste so different. But if you let them believe that it's from an animal, they actually believe it. So there are a lot of psychological reasons that
mm-hmm.
influence our taste.
yeah, you often see, you know, people, they like to eat something until they find out it's vegan, and then they don't want to eat it anymore.
Yeah.
So then it tastes good, you know. Yeah.
You said so you're doing different types of activism,
mm-hmm.
Also for the animals, and I think like That's one very specific kind of activism. And how do you compare like the conversations that you have like with the dog meat compared to other outreach actions? I don't know whether you also do like safe squares or something like that, or cubes of truth, or what they are all called, with more negative content, like where you have slaughter pictures and then you have the dog meat, or maybe even more ways. Like, how does the setting influence the conversations that you have?
Yeah, I do think they are different conversations, and I think it really depends on the type of event. You know, in the animal safe squares, we have many people who don't want to listen or don't want to see it, and you know, there's weed free, and people have to watch 3 minutes of footage, and then you talk to them, and after that, they are more likely to want to talk to you because they have already been reeled in, kind of indirectly. And with the dog meat, they come to you because they're outraged. So they come to you with a very different energy. You know, we get a lot of angry people online, which is somewhat entertaining. But so you kind of have the wall, and they kind of have to come down from that anger. But usually they will kind of do that themselves. And once they do, you know, they either think we're kind of insane, and hopefully later on they will realize that the problem is them and not us. We're just pointing out that they're being hypocrites. Or, you know, the other way is that they will hopefully feel bad and kind of make the connection that dogs are not so different from the rest. You know, pigs are smarter than dogs, for example. So there's also that point to make. You know, if you feel bad about eating dogs, there are animals that arguably may even have a worse experience.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we pretend to be, you know, an organic, certified, whatever farm, and many farms are not. Of course, it makes no difference because, you know, it's still animal abuse, but...
Yeah. Do you think that the reverse psychology aspect of it is more effective than regular activism?
I think it really depends on the person you speak to, because I'm a firm believer that we need all types of activism. You know, we need you know, the peaceful safe squares, and we need the disruptions, and we need everything together, because everything,
sure,
you know, speaks to a different type of person. I often hear vegans talk about, you know, we should be nicer to people and we should just offer them vegan food and all of that, but for me, that would have never worked for me, because, you know, I needed someone to tell me, hey, you know, you're full of shit, and do better, and that's when I listen. So I know that the peaceful approach doesn't always work, and of course you can be confrontational and still peaceful, but we need different approaches. And I think the thing about Koenig is that because it is so controversial and it makes people angry, it really reels in the people who normally wouldn't even listen to the vegan message, because they're just like, it's none of my business, it doesn't affect me. But when it's dogs, they suddenly care.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely get a lot of, you know, animal lovers and dog lovers and people who work in dog rescue even.
Mm-hmm.
And they only seem to care about dogs. So I think it's a very specific
mm-hmm.
audience that you kind of reel in.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's
mm-hmm. Yeah, so in order to care about dog meat and to be angry about it, you already need to genuinely like dogs and feel affected. And so that's kind of interesting that people get angry because probably they experience a conflict within themselves,
yeah,
so that they're like, oh, I'm actually against harming animals because I have such strong connections with some animals. And then, of course, people are shooting the messenger first.
Yeah, we also have people say, you know, you don't have to kill dogs, you know, there is already enough meat to eat. And it's just a nonsensical argument, you know, because the meat, it has to come from somewhere. It's another animal that gets killed. It's not one or the other. It's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Is it also maybe because you recreate the connection between meat and animal? Because it's also what Melanie Joy writes a lot about in her book, that people don't really connect between meat and animal. And now you have, oh, here is meat, here are dogs. So people have to realize that meat comes from animals. And the person that you just mentioned,
yeah,
who said like, oh, yeah, we have enough meat, this person obviously didn't really think about animals have to be killed
mm-hmm.
for food.
Yeah.
Or for animal-based food.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. I think a lot of people kind of have somewhat of the image that, you know, meat just grows in the supermarket, but it doesn't work like that, you know. You go to a vigil and you look the animals in the eyes. It's not something you forget. That is something that...
Maybe quickly explain to our listeners what a vigil is.
Yeah, right. So with Animal Safe, we do a slaughterhouse vigil. So we contact the slaughterhouse and usually, hopefully, they want to, you know, work with us. And they will stop the trucks for us to have a moment with the animals before they go in to slaughter. So we can give them water, give them some attention, take pictures to give them a face. Yeah, and it's really good to raise awareness and also kind of remind yourself why you do it, but it's really difficult. But that is something that many people, you know, heavily avoid, because I always try to bring non-vegans, but nobody wants to come with me.
Mm.
Unfortunately. And so I think it definitely is a point that, like, people see dogs as, you know, beings, as sentient beings, as friends, and they don't even see cows and pigs as that. They're just food. And it's, you know, bad to a point that where you Google, you know, chicken, you get pictures of, you know, a dead chicken corpse. And when you, you know, Google dog, you see happy dogs with families and stuff.
Oh, not beagle meat?
No,
unfortunately
not.
Not yet. Once Koenig is bigger, you will see Koenig.
Yeah, we do try and make our own images, and they do really well on Facebook specifically.
Yeah, because you mentioned that you were working with AI now to create images of your dog farm, which does not exist.
It does not exist. We don't have an address.
How does that work, or how's that been going?
Yeah, it's been great. We have two people who you know, kind of do the images for us, and especially the AI images with, you know, the beagle with like her puppies in like one of the, you know, the what's it called? The birthing...
Farrowing crates?
Yeah, I think that's the one. I don't know the word. But, you know, where the pigs are with their babies and they cannot move and stuff. So we made one with the dog and it did really well. And I think last week we made one of a golden retriever with, like, you know, her nipples were really big. And the whole point was, like, we had a special breeding program for the golden retriever who could make, you know, more milk than usual. And she looked... like more like a cow. That also did really well. So those do really well because I think it kind of shocks people, right? It's weird because you never see dogs in that scenario.
Yeah, I think I've seen AI images of humans being put in animals' place as well. And I think that's also very shocking for people to see someone of your own kind be put in that position. It hits differently.
Yeah, I think it's necessary. Some people need the shock factor before they listen. And, you know, it's insane. I know that dairy farmers sometimes use the term rape rack. Like, that's not normal, but nobody wants to talk about that. So when they see it, because most people don't want to talk to vegans, they don't want to hear us. You know?
We're so annoying.
Yeah, we're so annoying because we're confronting, you know, it's to the point where a vegan existing will piss someone off, and they will always say, you know, how do you know if someone is vegan? They will tell you, but it's always the carnies, you know, on vegan Facebook pages where they have no reason to even be there. Always, you know, posting pictures of like barbecues and stuff.
I think it speaks to their own internal guilt.
It does.
Yeah.
We're literally just existing and they get mad. Like, it's not us.
It's a psychological phenomenon called good derogation. So it's when people say that they're doing something good, for example, being vegan, that people automatically feel attacked because they're not taking the same action. And because they feel bad, then they become defensive. But if they wash their hands, this effect can be mitigated. Fun fact.
Yeah, it's just
interesting.
Just like when people make the argument of animals dying in crop production, I feel like that's part of that psychological effect. They're trying to look for any way that vegans are causing any type of harm in the world and accusing us of the same thing that they're doing, which is crazy.
And it's nonsense because, you know, nobody is perfect. Veganism isn't perfect. We have a non-vegan world. We're just doing the best we can, and they know that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Are there actually any future plans for Koenig to grow and...
Yeah, we have two upcoming events, I think, two so far, and we hope to kind of do them bi-monthly and have more like themed events too. We want to do something for King's Day, you know, Koenig, Koenig's Dog. Should be really great. Yeah, so we hope to take more to the streets and talk to people there too, because not everybody is on social media. And, you know, just grow our content. And we do have something special in the making because we want to expand to also produce cat meat, cat dairy. So that is also in the making. There's tons of cats, but
yeah,
we kind of
sure cat people will react to,
oh, yeah,
to that for sure.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
It's another, you know, we got dog people and cat people. We want to reel the cat people into.
Mm-hmm.
You have something for everyone. For the dog people, for the cat people.
I think those are the only animals that we have here that we don't eat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Are you worried that you will get in any trouble with the law?
No.
In the future?
No, we have on all of our pages, you know, we say that it's satire.
Mm.
So we don't get shut down, because that happened to Elwoods. We don't want that to happen.
Oh, they got shut down.
Yeah, they lost their Instagram page for a while. They have it back now.
When was that?
I think like a month ago.
They didn't list it as satire.
No, they did, but okay, Elwood just had, I don't know if you saw, but like the big ad on the English, the Metro?
The tube thing.
Yes.
And that was huge. I think she had like 100 something of those, managed to get those in the actual public transport. And right after that, her account got suspended. She has it back now. But I think, you know, many people reported it and may have complained.
Yeah, I think if it's like a site with this size, and
yeah,
then a lot of people complain, the algorithm automatically like stops it probably.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also probably why she got it back, because apparently,
yeah,
she didn't do anything wrong.
She's not lying.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a real farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, this is all entirely legal because it's not real.
It is not real.
Yeah.
You know, Elwoods is so big. I mean, we're part of them now, like officially. We are collaborating.
Mm.
But she
is,
it's really great. But she, you know, she gets actual death threats and stuff. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, are you worried that you will get death threats as well? And
we might. I mean, we haven't gotten death threats yet, but like I said, we had a couple of people being really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is that, you know, we can make posts of that. You know, people being outraged about our family farm,
turn it into content.
Yeah, of
yes.
course.
I heard from Molly Elwood what they always do is, like, if people get angry, they call them vegans.
Absolutely. Always the vegans complaining.
Yeah.
Being mad at our, you know, our little local family farm. No farmers, no food.
I think it's a very funny sort of activism somehow. And, yeah, we were also wondering sometimes, yeah, how can we make our people become more active in sort of activism? Do you think that it's a nicer way to start, maybe selling dog meat instead of doing a square? Or like, what is the easiest way to start with? Or are there different people good at different things?
I think, you know, a different thing works for everybody. I think everyone has their own strengths. You know, some people are very, very good at outreach. I'm not necessarily. Like, I will do it, but it's not my favorite thing. And I know some people are a lot better at it than I am. So when I'm at an event like that, I prefer to kind of hold up a sign or whatever and let them do the talking. And, you know, I think that's fine. Everybody can find something that works for them. I know someone who is very involved with the Animal Safe Movement, but she does, like, a lot of video editing. So nobody
mm-hmm.
even sees her, but she is, like, a critical
mm-hmm.
part of the entire thing. So I think there's often the idea that, you know, I'm too much of an introvert. I can't go to, like, an outreach event. And that's fine, but you can do something else. And there's all these groups, you know, there's the Safe Movement and We the Free and now Koninck and Elwoods. There's Direct Action Everywhere, you know, who
yeah.
walk around with their megaphones and do disruptions and stuff for the more, you know, bold people among us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Koninck is fairly new and it started because it wasn't here yet. And there's many more things that aren't here yet or that
mm-hmm.
have yet to be founded. So if you have an idea, just do it.
Yeah, there are so many different ways to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just need to find the one that works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody can do something, and I do fully believe that we all have the responsibility, because veganism is great, but in the end, veganism is a passive stance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Veganism is not really doing anything. You're not doing something. You know, I hope that we will create many new vegans, if you will. And, you know, also the thing is, we are always looking for new people to help us and to expand, and, you know, we're very open to collaborating and stuff, so everybody is welcome. Feel free to contact us. But also, you know, very much, if you don't want to do pretend farmer activism, find something else. There's anything, you know, everybody can do something.
Yeah, thank you very much. So that, I think that's quite a positive note to end on, like to say everybody can do something. Like there's so many different ways of helping the animals. No matter what you do, it's just important that you do something, and that aligns with your strength. I mean, a few episodes ago, we also had the talk with Felix from the Effective Altruism Movement, who also said, like, you can do donations or... But no matter what, it's always good to become active, I would say.
Agreed. Yeah.
Totally.
Thank you so much for coming on, Vincent or James.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
Also, thank you, dear listeners. This was another episode of Let Us Talk, and see you next time.